אוקיי, גוד איבנינג אביבאדי, פרשת השבוע ואת חנן. ואת חנן, first of all, we learn the power of prayer. משה רבינו is standing.
No, there was no prayer actually until she was praying. Everybody was praying to God, but the thing is that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, the Orachaim HaKadosh explains how to daven to God.
First of all, we have to understand what is he davening for, what is he praying for. He is praying for him to go into Eretz Yisrael. He got punished, he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and now he's asking to go in. And people, I would say, just ask, why is Moshe Rabbeinu only concerned about himself? What with all the people that's not going into Eretz Yisrael? Or why only now when you're going in, while all the others, the older generation, died in the desert? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that Ba'etai, that he was already praying to God long time ago. And he really wanted everybody to go into Eretz Yisrael, but he knew that Am Yisrael sinned. So he asked God, you know, to give him the permission to go in. Now, if he is already giving him the permission to go in, then he said, you know what? If you already gave me the permission, so maybe also Am Yisrael. So even here we see how dedicated was Moshe Rabbeinu to Am Yisrael. And if we don't, let's say we have maybe a few doubts about it, so let's see what's happening now. He is praying to God, and God is telling him, ויתחנן אל השם בעת ההיא לאמור, השם אלוקים אתה אכילות על עבודת עבדך את גודלך את אחד המנועל וכו' וכו'. And then God is telling him, ויתבר השם בי למענכם, it's also very interesting. And for you, God didn't want to listen to me. For you. Not because of you, but for you. Which is also very strange. Because normally, let's imagine to yourself that you got a new car. You're going on, just took the car, going out on the road. And suddenly, somebody decides to go to cross the road on a red light and runs into the road and you see him. So what do? You turn the wheel and you go into the pavement and you
smash
your car, your new car. Now you go out of the car and says, what would you say? For you I smashed the car, or you would say, because of you I smashed the car?
Because of you.
Because of you.
But the real truth is, if you think about it, it's for him. Because if he wouldn't stop the car, or bang the car, or go on the other side, what would happen? He would kill the man. So he did it for him. It depends how you look at things. If you're looking from the egoistic point of view, it's because of you. If you look from the point of view of "Va'ahavta le'racha kamocha," it's for you. I did it for you. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking from love to Am Yisrael. He says, "I didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because just now we are mourning on Tisha B'Av, and the whole idea is that the destruction of the temple. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have got into Eretz Yisrael, God gave Moshe Rabbeinu a very interesting power. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did was forever. You couldn't touch it. It's a power that Moshe Rabbeinu got from God. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have got into Eretz Yisrael and built the temple, in Am Yisrael would have sinned, as unfortunately it happened, God will, chas v'sholom, destroy Am Yisrael. But because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed the temple, and Am Yisrael chay v'kayam, Baruch Hashem. So in other words, God is telling now Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, al tosef daber elai od kadavar hazeh. Stop praying. What do you mean stop praying? Because if you're going to go on praying, what's going to happen?
I will let you
go into Eretz Yisrael. And it says, I swore two swores. I swore once that you are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And also, I swore on Am Yisrael that they're going to die in the desert. Now, you decide what you want. If you're going, I cannot cancel both. Now, if you want me to cancel you, so I have to destroy Am Yisrael. If you want them, Am Yisrael, to survive, so you cannot go in. Because if you go in, as we said, the temple is going to be built, Am Yisrael is going to go to sin, Chas v'Sholom, and I have to destroy them. So Moshe Rabbeinu is answering and says, the Midrash Tanhuma says, I don't want even that you touch one hair of Am Yisrael. I'm not going. So here we see the power of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we see something much greater, the power of prayer. Sometimes we pray to God and we think God is not listening. So first of all, God is listening. And sometimes we don't get what we want. So you have to go on praying. Because eventually, all the prayers go up. But you have to be careful what you're praying for. Because we don't know what leads to good life and what leads to bad life. Sometimes the best things look to in our eyes, beautiful things, can eventually turn to very bad. We all know a lot of people that win the lottery and you meet them 10 years later and they're broken people. They lost everything. They lost the family, they lost the money, they lost everything.
I just saw a movie today on Madoff. That's just exactly what you're saying. He had everything, a good thing and everything, and he lost it all. Yeah. Not lost it all, because...
But how do we use
and
the law of
family and his children?
Isn't the way
we use
the law?
Well, what do you mean?
God pays
us.
Yes.
God pays your salary.
Yes.
And but you realize
some people are not even godly. They don't, you know, they don't go to school and they don't govern either, and yet they're successful in business.
Yes.
And keep on being successful. Now, Shem keeps on rewarding them and rewarding them.
You see,
it's what they do. Because these some people are always giving tzedakah, and they're always helping out. And they're wonderful people.
Just to build the house.
And that's God rewards them. It's how you use the money that God gives you.
Yeah. The point is. God rewards them in this world, but what's going to happen with them in the next world? That's the point. You see, world.
So why does he just what's the name of someone this world?
That's exactly the whole idea. Tzadik veralo, rasha vetovlo. You see, righteous people that suffering in this world, and you see bad people that enjoying this world. So as you say, if you do a mitzvah here in this world, you can be an evil man, but you do a mitzvah, you're going to be rewarded. But the reward is going to be given here, not there. No. If you're an evil man, you're going to get the reward here, and you got nothing on the next world. That's the way it works. You see, that's why you see people that sin and have good life, as you say, it's not going to go forever. One day they're going to go up, nobody stays here. Everybody dies. Nobody stays here. And when they're going to die, going up to heaven, they're going to be told, whatever you did good, you got rewarded in this world. Because you're evil people and did a lot of sins, now you're going to hell. Only those who keep the mitzvahs enjoy the next world. And sometimes even God is punishing them here for their sins in order to give them a greater reward in the next world. This is a very important philosophical question. Sorry?
God wants you to don't sacrifice your life and not...
God wants you to keep the mitzvahs. That's what he wants you to do. Nothing else. In other words, he wants you to want to keep the mitzvahs.
And non-Jews?
Non-Jews have 7 mitzvahs. Everybody in this world got mitzvahs. And God wants everybody to keep the mitzvahs. And we're supposed to show the light to the goyim, and not on the other side. So in a minute I want to get to this point, but first of all I want to explain what our Aroch Chaim HaKadosh explained to us to daven to God. It says, Ve'etchanan el Hashem ba'et ha'i le'emor. It says you need 4 things. Ve'etchanan is, I pleaded God. I begged God. Ve'etchanan. In other words, when you stand in front of God, you don't come from a point of view of pride, you come from humbleness. As a poor guy is asking from a big shot, because you're asking God, who are you near God? So first of all, ve'etchana. The way you daven is in a humble way. Then, el Hashem. We daven only to God, to nobody else. What does it mean? If you go to Kivrei Tzadikim, you don't daven to the Tzadik. You daven to God. Somebody who daven to the Tzadik, this is idol worship. This is not allowed because we daven only to God. So the second point is we daven only to God.
Tzaddik. You're davening to him, you're actually asking him to be an intermediary for you to God. That's what you're asking.
You don't need even to daven to him. You daven to God, and you want the rights of the tzaddik to help you for your davening to go up. Why do we go to Kibre Tzaddik?
We went on a tour to Tzadikim, and before we got off the bus, the tour guide said, remember, you're going here to the Tzadikim, but you're davening to Hashem.
Right.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of the Jewish religion. But there are a lot of suspicions.
What you're saying is, we have to understand the idea why, if we can go directly to God, and we daven only to God, why do I need to go to Kivrei Tzadikim at all?
Right.
Why? I tell you why. There is something that we have to understand. There are places that have holiness. It's like, that's why you go to shul, and praying in shul is much better than to pray at home. Even if there is no minyan, by the way. Because shul is a holy place. Going to Jerusalem and pray in Jerusalem or pray in Chutz La'aretz, it's also a different level of prayers. The same thing is when you go to where a tzaddik is, you have to understand there is always a connection between the remains of the body in this world to heaven. There is a connection. This connection is what's going to make the remains of the tzaddik who died, or everybody, to come alive in Tchiyat Hamitim. What is Tchiyat Hamitim? There needs to be some connection between this world and the next world. There is always a connection between the physical part and the spiritual part. They call it Havla de Garme. Havla de Garme is something in the bones. It's not even something that you can see sometimes, because it's so small, it can be also microscopic. But there is something there that stays alive in a certain way forever. And this is the part that connects you to the up. That's why in the Jewish tradition, we are so careful about burial, and we are so careful about places where there are batei kvarot, where there are bodies, because we know that it is sanctified.
I thought that the neshame has some parts, yes?
That's what I'm saying, a connection.
The connection is from the neshama.
But the neshama is not here. The neshama is already there.
No, but one piece from the neshama stay here.
And it's just the bones that stay.
As I'm saying, there is with the bones, there is a part that stays here. You can imagine to yourself, if you want to imagine to yourself, like you have a string that is connected to you, connects you, your neshama, to heaven. Now, this string is always there. There is always a connection. Now, if you are a big, 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 big sinner, chas v'sholom, you can sometimes disconnect this thing, and then there is nothing there anymore. But normally, there is all. That's why we go on your side to the graveyard. Why do we go there? If there is nothing there, why do we go there? Why do we go to daven on Kivrei Tzadikim if there is nothing there? And this is something in Kabbalah. It's not something that we talk like that. We all know it. We do it for many, many years. And we're going to do it, Bezrat Hashem, more years. You can go to Kivrei Tzadikim and see how many people go there. So what's the idea? If there is nothing there? But that's exactly the point. There is always a connection.
It's like a telephone cellular. It's connected with a satellite. You don't see the connection.
No, you don't. Of course you don't see it.
There is a connection.
So when we go to Kivrei Tzadikim, this connection is connecting us to the mitzvahs that the tzaddik did. In other words, it's a good place to be. Because when God looks at us in this place, what does he see? The good things that a Jewish guy did, this tzaddik, says, oh, those are my people, and this guy comes here. So those rights that the tzaddik got are going to help our davening prayers to go up. So it's not just a mystical thing with no connection with reality. This is our belief, and this is why we are so careful about bodies and everything. So many demonstrations were on when they built a building and they found graveyards underneath, because there is holiness there. So we daven only to God. Ba'et Hanan El Hashem. Ba'et Ahi, what is Ba'et Ahi? At that particular time. Meaning, you have a time for Shachrit, you have a time for Mincha, and you have a time for Maariv. You have a time for davening for Yom Kippur, for Rosh Hashanah, for Shabbos. Every prayer has got its time. In other words, if you want your prayer to go up, find the right time. You don't daven Mincha when it's the time for Shachrit, and you don't daven Shachrit when it's the time for Mincha. And this is with all the tefillot. So in other words, this is also an important part. When I daven, the time. Then, le'emor, to say, what do I mean? Of course, when I plead God, of course I'm talking to him. No, it says le'emor, say exactly what you want. And be careful with what you ask. I told you a few times this famous midrash about this guy. He's going in the desert and he's getting very tired. So he's praying to God, God, send me a donkey. Because at that time, they didn't have cars. They used to ride donkeys. So send me a donkey. At the same time, this Arab Bedouin is going in the desert and his female donkey, I don't know how you call it, gave birth, and the small donkey is walking, he cannot walk right. And he doesn't know what to do. So then he sees, oh, he sees these Jews going in the desert. He calls him, hey, come here. And he puts the small donkey on his back. So he asked for a donkey, and he got a donkey. But he wanted to ride the donkey, but now the donkey is riding him. So you see, you have to be careful what you ask. You have to ask letova. That's why every prayer says, we say, yemaleh mishalot libeinu letova. Because not everything we ask is good. You can see it with small kids. They're asking a lot of things from their parents. Not everything they ask is good for them. But they want. So what? As parents, we know that we cannot give them whatever they want. The same way is our Father in heaven. But we also should not ask things that we don't know if they are good or bad. So sometimes we think God doesn't listen. God listens to everything. God loves us. So, first of all, pleading, humbleness, only to God, nobody else, that's the only one we're praying to, at the right time, and say exactly what you want, le-to-va. And if you think God is not answering you, it's because God wants you to pray some more. So, va'etchanan el Hashem, so you pray again, and again, and again. The power of prayer is so strong. But, as I said, the same way with Moshe Rabbeinu, when he realized that what he's asking is going to cost Am Israel, he said, stop. So we also have to be careful with what we ask. That's regarding prayers. How do you pray to God?
But yes. you've got a formula, you've got a prayer book.
Yes, but you can also ask whatever you want.
Well,
Before the prayer book,
we made our own prayers.
I'm saying, for example, in Shmoneh Esrei, in each one of the brachot we say, you can ask personal things that are connected to the bracha. For example, in Refa'enu, you can add, please send Refu'ah Shlema to this and this, betoch sh'ar chole Yisrael. The same way, Chonel la'adam da'at, for example, you can ask that God will give you the wisdom for a test or whatever. Shema Koleinu, you can ask whatever you want.
But that's true.
No, you can ask personal things. If you want to add personal things, you can add in Shmona Ikon asking. What?
I would never have the...
Okay, so, but you're allowed to, and God wants you. God is your father. God is your father. You can ask him everything. Everything you can ask.
I ask also to find a place to park my car, and I find. I cannot believe I am coming to the Chania, and I say, please, Hashem, I want to park the car, please, please, please. And I find, I come directly and I park.
You must have a good skill, a good
skill. Huh?
I
ask everything.
He always finds place for women to park their car. Because if he don't, there's going to be trouble.
Now, when we realized how we should pray and the power of prayer, we have to understand another important point. This is the story about this guy who needed something, help in a big problem he had. So he approached one of the people that deals with problems, but he was very, very busy. So he was a great guy, a very righteous guy, does a lot of chesed. But you know, he's dealing with a lot of problems with a lot of people, like the Rav Fira, for example. And if you want a meeting with him, it takes time. So he had a very important problem, but you know, this guy didn't have time for him. So they told him, you know, you can come in 2 months. Yeah, 2 months is too long. But what can he do? Okay, he made an appointment, 2 months. A few days later, he's getting a phone. He says, you see, there is a time now that you can come because meeting was canceled. If you come now in 40 minutes, 50 minutes, you can come to talk with the guy. So he gets down quickly, takes a taxi, pays him double, take me to this place on time. He gets there 10 minutes before time, runs up the stairs. Before he even knocks the door is open and says, oh, I'm sorry. I know I told you to come now. It is the secretary of this guy. He says, he had to go out urgently. Somebody called him. So he's disappointed. He was rushing and rushing. And he's got this problem. And he's going down really disappointed. And he sits on a bench outside. And he's got this apple that he brought with him. And he's saying a blessing. Baruch atah. Says Baruch Ata. Yes. Today it would be a phone maybe. Baruch Ata. He says Baruch Ata. So what is Baruch Ata? Blessed.
You.
Who do you talk to?
Toshi.
Where is he? No.
In
he's in front of you because you're talking to him. He says, "Hey, I'm talking to you." Baruch Ata. Ata. What is Ata? You.
You.
I'm talking to you. He says, 1 minute. I am talking to God. And he starts dancing. And he sits on the side and starts davening and praying to God. 2 days later, the problem was solved. And the guy from this other guy, the secretary, calling him a week later, says, you know, you can come now. He says, I don't need to come.
I don't need you anymore.
I don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is an important point to understand. You can talk with God whenever you want. He is our Father and He is here with us. That's why you say Baruch Ata. You don't say Baruch Hu. Baruch Ata.
What does Baruch Hashem mean?
Baruch Hashem, blessed is God. That's Baruch Hashem.
Everything is Baruch Hashem.
Nachon? Baruch Hashem, yes. But God is with us and God wants us to talk. You can talk with Him on everything. Everything you want. No problem. On the contrary, God wants you to talk, to believe in Him and to ask Him even for a parking spot. Whatever it is.
There are people that don't believe in Hashem and they say Baruch Hashem. How can we?
It's like, you know, once Sarid, that's what you know on Sarid, he says, Baruch Hashem shani lo ma'amin. Baruch Hashem, I don't believe. He says, but did you say Baruch Hashem? Okay. There is an issue I wanted to talk about for a few minutes. It's a very complicated issue, not easy to talk about, because unfortunately we live in a society that is so advanced that everything is allowed and you can do whatever you want. But this week on Tisha B'Av, the 10th of Av, when we were fasting, there was going a demonstration all over Israel. And I'm not going to go into this issue again and again and again, but it's important to talk about it, because they talk about tolerance. They talk about kfiya datit, not being forced to do things. They talk about a lot of things. To choose a day like this to demonstrate on an issue like this, this is terrible.
That's real.
And they said, like Aida says, it's nature. So what if it's nature? You have to fight nature. That's why we're here. People mistaken. They says if it's nature, you can do it. Our nature wants us to do a lot of things that we're not allowed. Yetzer leva adam ra mineurav. It's written. We have Yetzer Ara with us from the day we were born. And yes, I want us. Yeah, I want what you've got, so I can take it. I want to eat treif, so can I eat it? I want to eat milk and meat together. I want to steal. I want to kill. I want to have relationships with other women or with other men. Do whatever you want with it. So can I. The Torah is telling you, you have a nature, you have to fight it. That's why you're here. If we wouldn't have bad nature, so why are we here? Why? We could stay up there in heaven and learn Torah or whatever, and that's it. No Yetzer Hara. But we have Yetzer Hara. But we have to fight it. In other words, this is not an excuse, it's nature. So what? Because somebody was telling me, you know, it's in the gains, it's the genes, it's the... Okay, so what? So what? Also, in my genes, I have things that I have to control. Each one of us got. And to do this, on this day, it's like this unbelievable story. That's also connected to this.
That's why the temple was destroyed.
This why, in the morning, a big stone of the Kotel fell down.
Yeah.
Sorry to tell you. This is a sign from God. Where did it fall?
In the section
where the Reform want to daven. So you tell me.
That's not a sign.
You tell me that it's not... We said, Even Mikir Tizak, that's the prophet... says, even a stone will cry from the wall. And I never understood what's the meaning of a stone will cry from the wall. And 2 days ago, I understood what it is.
Was it anyone there?
Yes.
A woman was standing like that distance. And you know what size of stone it was? Something like this.
A rock.
Yes. A rock. A rock like this. One of the rocks of the Kofta Choma.
No, I saw, but I
didn't. You saw? No. You didn't see the woman near it?
I saw.
She looked like this, like nothing.
No, they said it was nobody.
There was
a woman standing 1 meter near it.
Yeah, she said that.
She said it was a miracle.
She said it was a miracle.
She wanted to be, you know, alone.
Alone with God, very good. But the thing is, you tell me that God is so angry on us that he shows us a sign. But people start to take it. No, it's what something with an engineering, 2,000 years, the stone is there.
No,
and
Dafka, everything is dangerous. Now.
Of course everything is dangerous, because the way we behave, what do you think? Of course, but you can't... But you can find
his own rule. He said nobody's going to go to Kotel. They will fight
away. It's excuses and things we can always find. But we all know the terrible thing happened on Tisha B'Av, and God sent us a sign, and He sent it so clearly that it's unbelievable how clear it is. Because what was the morning of the destruction of the temple?
It was
what stone fall down? From the remains of the temple.
It wasn't the temple,
The wall. The what? The path. It's a path from there.
The wall of the city.
It's a wall of Harabali. What about it? It's a holiness, a holy place. What do you mean? That's what we've got. They say the Shekhinah would never leave the Kotel HaMa'aravi. And that's what we're talking about. That's the Kotel HaMa'aravi.
From the Beit Mikdash Sheni?
No, the wall was inside. This was the wall of the yard.
Ken.
Yeah, but it's still, that's what we call the Kotel HaMa'aravi. Yes.
Beit Mikdash Sheni.
Yeah.
Is it Kotel HaMa'aravi?
That's the Kotel HaMa'aravi. And Chazal say very clearly that the Shekhinah would not leave this place. So it's a holy place. And from this holy place, a stone fell.
I read that there was another demonstration the same day.
They had a lot all over Israel.
Another demonstration. That they took a Rav in Haifa. They imprisoned a Rav in Haifa from the Reform that he made a wedding.
Conservative.
He made a wedding from Mamzers.
Yeah.
No, they weren't Mamzers. The Rabbanut even said that in the end that they weren't Mamzers.
But they did the demonstration this day. And
they said they didn't register with the Rabbanut, but they can't register with the Rabbanut.
First of all, the understanding that they talk about love, they talk about Sinat Chinam, they talk about a lot of things, but the real truth is, they talk about being tolerant, they talk to, you have to accept the different. Dude, they don't accept us.
No.
They fight against us. Where is the tolerance when we're talking about tefillin in the airport, or somebody wants to let tefillin to somebody in the street, or if on Shabbos, where is the tolerance? Where is the tolerance when you know what Tisha B'Av is? It's not a religious thing. It's an historical fact. And people put signs on the shops that they're going to open on Tisha B'Av evening, and they opened. And this reminds me of a story I told you once before. 200 years ago, in Egypt, the rulers gave the Jews the power to control all the religion stuff, and they gave the rabbi the power even to jail people if he wants. So they got really a lot of power. And there was this baker there in Cairo, and he put a sign also that he's going to open on Tisha B'Av, the bakery, because he was also selling to Goyim and also to Jews. The rabbi sent messengers to him and says, please don't open on Tisha B'Av because we are mourning and we're fasting, and it's not suitable to open a bakery on Tisha B'Av. And this guy didn't listen. On Tisha B'Av evening, he opened the bakery. And he sent again to a messenger, and he says, why did you open? The rabbi asked you not to open. He says, well, I have to lose money because of the temple, or something that happened 1,900 years ago. That's why I have to lose money. And he didn't listen. Okay. The rabbi didn't do anything about it. He opened the shop, he sold, and months went by, another one went by, came the month of Hadar. And a knock at the door, and two officers come to the house of this baker. Are you this and that? Says, yes, you are arrested. Says, what did I do? We don't know what you did. If you have any question, approach the rabbi. We've got orders to arrest you. They arrest him, put him in jail, and time flies, and this, the 2 weeks before Purim, he used to do so much money that he had parnosa for half a year from 2 weeks, because all the rich people of Cairo used to buy me at the bakery all the good cakes and all the mishlochmanos, kodem mishlochmanot. And he sees they're not releasing him, and nobody is approaching him, nobody's coming him, and he's asking to talk with the rabbi. The rabbi doesn't come, and Purim is approaching, and he is losing a lot of money. And then Purim comes, and he's still in jail, and he doesn't know what to do. The Purim ended, the jail door was open, you are released, you can go. What is he doing the first thing?
Run to the rabbi.
Run to the rabbi. Rabbi, why did you arrest me? He says, what do you mean why? He says, you know how much money I lost? He says, you know why I arrested you? Because you opened the Tisha B'Av. He says, sorry? Why didn't you arrest me in Tisha B'Av? Why did you arrest me now? He says, you remember what you told me? You told me, why should I lose money because of something that happened 1,700 years ago, 900 years ago? He says, I said, you know what? Why should you make money of something that happened 2,000 years ago? I put you in jail. You know, and that's exactly the point. The problem is that we look at things from our egoistic, personal point of view. So we see only us. We don't see the others. So, and that's the problem. That's the main thing. We have to start looking and feeling our brothers. Ve'ahavta le're'acha kamocha. And that's the only way. It's hard. So we said 2 minutes ago, we have the power of prayer. We can ask God everything. So we should also ask God, help us. Help us fight Yetzer Hara. Help us see the right picture. And by the way, one of the reasons that this terrible thing happened on Tisha B'Av is for us. To show us where things can lead you. It's not, I don't care about them. Let's say, if I care more about us. We have to learn the lesson. We have to understand and realize if we go on the wrong way, where it's going to lead us. And this has to give us an injection to wake up and do the right thing.
Yeah, but listen, I don't understand only one thing.
I have only one minute.
We were punished, but who they care that they rock fall? They don't care.
What did I say now?
To Hashem help us to what? To exterminate these people?
No! What? No! That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes! You can love them and still hate what they do. You love them, you hate what they do. But the thing is, the rock falling is a sign for us. They don't care about anything. They will find, believe me, excuses and another excuse.
So why
is it happening? Why do we have this demonstration on Tisha B'Av? Why is a stone falling? To tell us something is wrong with us. Don't look at them. Look at yourself. Something is wrong with us. We have to fix ourselves.
What's wrong with us? I understand.
What is wrong with us? We are loving ourselves too much instead of loving our friends. Yeah. And we have to start loving our friends. What?
You are our friends.
Your family, your friends, your community, your neighbors,
around.
And loving your enemies, is it?
Also good. You can love your enemies. You hate what he does.
You hate the sin, but you...
Not the sinner. Exactly. You hate the sin, not the sinner.
If they're taking us and burning our fields, we can't reciprocate.
That's a different enemy. That's a different enemy. But you have to understand and realize when somebody wants to kill you, you can kill him first. That's a different issue. I'm talking about the spiritual point of view. If you're talking about an enemy that wants to kill us physically, so you fight with him physically. When we talk about an enemy that wants to kill you spiritually, you fight with him spiritually. The thing is, we cannot fight by ourselves without the help of God. So that's why we have the power of prayers. And God is going to help us. But we have to pray to God to give us the power to fight our Yetzer Hara. Each one of us got to fight. And we have to look around and see where the fight is leading you if you don't fight Yetzer Hara.
Correct.